think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play Stores.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
For over 15 years, Blanca Simpson was the housekeeper for one of the most powerful families in the South Carolina Lowcountry, the Murtaughs. She cleaned their home, she ran their errands, she became a part of their inner circle. And on June 7th of 2021, she was one of the last people to see Alec Murtaugh before his wife Maggie and son Paul were gunned down at the family's Moselle hunting property. Now Blanca is speaking out, not just about the murders, but about the family she thought she knew, the red flags she says investigators ignored, and her own theory about what really happened that night. This is part of my 5-part interview, part one, with Blanca Simpson. In this first segment, we'll go back to the beginning, how she first crossed paths with Alec Murtaugh in the late 1990s, how she eventually became the family's trusted housekeeper, and who Maggie and Paul Murtaugh really were behind closed doors. Let's get into it. Well, Blanca, take me back to 2002, back when you started working with Alec at PMPED and then how you transitioned to become the Murtaugh family housekeeper in 2007. Those initial days, what was life like for you and what was the world like as you entered into the orbit of the Murtaughs?
I met him in the late 90s. Like I said, a friend of mine needed, she basically needed a new attorney because the agency that she had hired was not doing her, was not helping her out with what she needed.
Yeah.
And I told her that I was going to help her find an attorney. And I walked into his office and I was talking to the lady at the front and he just stepped out and he's like, "Hey, come on back here," you know, and got to talking and he said he would do it. He would take the case, but he said we would have to release the other attorney. So we would have to do a letter and to make sure that the letter was in Spanish and in English because of the fact that she was not very fluent. Mm-hmm. So I told him that, you know, we would take care of that. And he said just to gather any photographs or anything that they had that she had provided for them. So mm-hmm. we did that. And like I said, that was in the late 90s when I first met him.
Yeah.
And then when the case came up, I translated. He asked if I would translate in court because he said there was no Spanish speaking court translators mm-hmm. there. And during that time, you didn't have to be certified. You, you as long as you were fluent. Mm-hmm. So I told him, yeah, I would do it. And that was the first case, like I said, and that's how I met him.
Sure.
And then after that, he called me. I think I ran into him at the local Pizza Hut in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And we got to talking, and shortly after that, he called me and asked if I would translate for, you know, a case, and that's how it all got started.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like a daily, a weekly, or a monthly. It was like an occasional, if he had a case, he would call me. Because I was still working at the time.
Sure, sure. And those initial interactions, obviously, you know, we'll talk about hindsight later, but initially, I mean, what are you feeling about Alec Murdaugh at the time? You know, he's got a pretty good reputation around town. The family has a reputation around town, not for what it is today, but obviously it was more positive back then. Are you thinking, you know, this is great. You know, this is a high power attorney. It looks like this could be a good opportunity. What's going through your mind as you're having those interactions with him as time kind of went on?
Knowing, I didn't know too much about the family other than what my husband had told me, you know, that they were, you know, the best lawyers, you know, mm-hmm. as he referred to them. I guess growing up, you know, that's the way people referred to them.
Yeah.
Other than that, I didn't know too much. I didn't inquire about him or anything. I just wanted him to help. You know, that's how I found him.
Yeah.
Then, As far as me, I just I had a job. I was still employed.
Just a nice little side gig that you could get every now and then, and why not? You know, this is a well-respected family in the area, and that's what it was. So nothing odd or anything like that in the early portion of this.
No, nothing bad. They were very popular in the town. They did a lot for the community. They were just, you know, the Murdaughs.
And then eventually you get into more life with them beyond just translating. In was it 2007 or so? You became the family housekeeper. Is that accurate?
In 2007, I started just helping. You know, here and there if she needed help. You know, I would just kind of step in and help the other lady that was there, which Miss Gloria Satterfield.
Yeah.
Was working for her at the time. But it was occasional. At that point, in 2007, I was working at the federal prison. Mm-hmm. And I resigned the federal prison. And I went into real estate. So I had a lot of time in between, because if you remember correctly, that's when the real estate market crashed.
Sure.
When I got into it. So I had in between me not, you know, doing anything, I would go by the house and help, you know, Maggie out. And that's mm-hmm. how I got to know the family. But not Alec. I already knew him, and he was very easygoing, you know, that, like I said, no worries attitude. Him and Maggie were the same way. They weren't flashy or anything, at least not in front of me.
Sure. So that time span from 2007 going all the way up until about 2015, because I know you had to take some time off for your health reasons. All that window there, what were your feelings on the family? If somebody had, you know, come up to you, you know, in let's say 2016, when you were taking some time off and said, hey, even privately was like, hey, you know, what do you think of the Murdaughs? I'm thinking of using them for an attorney, or I'm thinking about talking to Maggie about something, just whatever it may be. What would your reaction have been back then if you were to give them your just honest opinion of the family?
Very positive. They were a very loving family. They seemed to be united in every aspect of the way. They did everything as a family together with Maggie's parents and Alec's parents. Mm-hmm. It seemed like every little affair, it was the whole family was included in that. And I liked that. I didn't have I like the unity in the family that I saw when I was around them. And that's what attracted me to the family. And I thought, you know, they had, you know, they just had that charisma with each other, Maggie and Alec.
You said that you want to humanize Maggie and Paul in your book. What was, I know it's a wide open question and probably one you could go on for quite some time, but if you were to kind of surmise who they were, who were the real Maggie Murdaugh and Paul to you?
Maggie was not the prissy snob that every fur wearing, you know, person that they, the pictures that they've been showing about, you know, with the furs and, that wasn't her. Anybody that was around her, she would dress casual if she had a dentist appointment or a doctor's appointment. For the most part, Maggie was the type to walk around in athletic gear with the long tunics or depending on the weather, but she was not as fancy as they made her out to be. And then people were saying that, you know, she was a snob. She was never a snob to me. And she never made it as a, you know, I have money and you don't, you know, that type of thing. She was not like that. She looked out for the people around her, and she always made sure to, If there was something that she needed to purchase, either major or small purchase or whatever, she always liked using the local mom and pop type stores that were around in the community because she liked giving them the business.
Yeah.
She wasn't what the media had her made out to be. And a lot of people had that image of her in the fur coat and being this high, you know, she was high up in the social, you know, realm in the town, but she didn't act like it. As far as with my interactions and the interactions that I saw her with other people that when I was around, as far as anybody else, I don't know what they're in, or I don't even know how they approached her.
Sure.
So, but as far as observations with her was always, she was always down to earth, laughing, you know. If she would meet somebody, I think she would come out of there laughing, joking, and made a friend. And it didn't matter to her. And with Paul, my interactions with him started with him. I think I've always said he was a little clown. He was just a little jokester. He would hide my whatever I was using. If I was cleaning the kitchen, I was trying to put stuff away, he would take stuff away from me and hide it. And so I'd be hollering at him like, Paul, what did you do? You know, or that sort of thing. He was a little messy, but nothing that any normal teenager doesn't do, you know, with regard to their room. But he just had that personality. He had the little arrogance to him. I'm not going to deny that because I did get to see a little bit of that. But not to the point where he would not help somebody because of who he was. He would literally give you the shirt off his back. And that's the side that people don't, know about him. And the villainization that a lot of media has created surrounding, you know, that family, it wasn't true. It's not true.
Yeah. And that's an interesting thing, because I think the media and people in general, you know, when you hear it and you learn about the case and you learn about everything that went on in the family with that boat crash, I mean, it's easy to damn someone when you look at the ingredients of what Paul looked like he kind of had been for a bit. But you consider his age, where he was brought up around, who he was brought up around, the entitlement, the arrogance. That's going to be normal equations for almost anybody in that sort of position at that sort of age. Take the money out of it. Kids at that age are going to be arrogant and they're going to make bad choices. And Paul obviously made a bad choice with the boating incident and the drinking and driving and all that. Obviously, bad choices, one that he couldn't erase because obviously it took the life of someone and injured others. But he was still a human. There was still a history and still a story to life beyond that. It's easy to judge someone, I guess, by their worst moments, but that's not really an accurate picture of who they actually are, is it?
It really is not. Paul did have remorse, regardless. Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of people saying, he was just arrogant. He was still doing, the partying and all that. He was a young man. He had a lapse in judgment, and he paid dearly for it. Mm-hmm. But it does not take away from the fact that he mourned his friend, that he thought about her every day. He carried her obituary in his truck right there. When he would get in, it was right on the door frame right there. He had it stuck in there. He carried her picture. And he grew up with all of them. So they knew each other since they were young. And I wanted people to understand that. And also, even when they heard Anthony Cook mention, that he had another side and that he was messed up, his mother said the same thing. They've known him. And people still villainized him.
Yeah.
He did. He paid for it dearly. But it still doesn't take away from the fact that he was young. And he was remorseful, and he was hurting. He was in a lot of pain.
Yeah, it's not to excuse the action, but it's to look at him as a human being, and human beings make mistakes, especially when they're young. And as I say, all of us were young and dumb at some time. And sometimes the consequences to the actions and the choices that we make are far more severe than others. And at the end of the day, I don't think anybody looks at Paul and goes, he went out that night to try and kill his friend. No, made a bunch of horrible choices. It ended the way it did. But sounds like he had a very different side that hasn't been shown very much because of the easy and quick way to villainize someone. You took some time off between 2015 and 2021 or so, and then you came back and were starting to do more with the Murdaughs after your health scare there. When you came back to the family and started doing more work for them, was the temperature different than it was prior? Obviously, you had come back a little bit after the boat crash incident, and they were facing all of the stress of that. What was the atmosphere like compared to what it was when you had to take some time off when you came back?
I used to see Maggie in town during the time of my recovery. And so I was kind of up to date a little bit of what was going on. I never asked her about the boat accident. I simply called and I told her if she needed anything, to let me know. I was starting to move around a little bit more, closer to 2019 it was. And I was moving around. And so I kind of had an idea what was going on. And also talking with Miss Gloria. Mm-hmm. I would see Miss Gloria in town, and she would kind of keep me updated on everything and would wish me well. That's just who, they were. Sure. But when I heard about the accident, the boating accident, I called to offer my support and ask them if they needed anything. And it was not... there was no other intention other than friendship. That I was there, if they needed somebody. I knew that they were going to be going through some turmoil, and I knew that they were probably going to need people around them that, that they could feel comfortable around. Yeah. So that's the reason that I called. And then she asked me if I would be willing to come back and help her. And I said, well, when do you need me? She's like, yesterday. So so I went, once I went back, I started off right as I had never left, right, from mm-hmm. the same place. I knew where everything was. I knew their routine. I knew. So I didn't really have to go through her telling me, well, I want this done on this day, this done. I already knew it.
Sure.
So when I got there, I went straight to doing what I did. But this time it was a little bit more, it started getting more on a more personal level. She was, you know, it was taking checks to the bank, you know, cashing checks for her, you know, helping her buy, you know, sometimes I would run to the grocery store and bring groceries, you know, to the house or if she needed anything. So it was more of a, not just the housekeeping duties, but other things, running errands for her and whatever she couldn't do during the week. You know, I would take care of that. If they had to go out of town, I would come in and make sure that the house was ready, you know, for them when they returned. So I think my responsibilities became a little bit more on, it started getting more on a personal, you know, level. But even at that point, what I try to tell people is I never went there with the intention of becoming a friend. I just wanted them to know that I was there. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't passing judgment on anybody. I was just trying to be helpful.
Yeah. Incidentally, that's usually ending up being what a good friend is, you know, mm-hmm. exactly that. And I mean, it sounds like you kind of you just naturally became one over time because they got to know you, you got to know them, you know, almost being part of their unit in your own way. Would you describe it like that?
They to some extent, I think it was like a dependency. They knew that they could rely on me.
Sure.
To take care of things for them. Sometimes without even having to tell me, I would take care of things because I was already, I already knew. And I think they like that about me.
Sure. As you just heard, Blanca wasn't just an employee. She became part of the Murdoch family's inner circle. She saw them at their best. The birthday parties, the family gatherings, the everyday moments that made them feel normal. In part two, that picture starts to crack. Maggie Murdoch pulls Blanca into a room, closes the door, and shares something that's been weighing on her. A $30 million lawsuit and the husband who won't tell her the whole truth. We'll also walk through the morning of June 7th, 2021, what Blanca saw, what Alec looked like as he rushed out the door, and the last words he ever said to her before everything changed. That's coming up in part two. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss it wherever you are listening to us right now. Be sure to check us out on YouTube. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. And you can weigh in with your thoughts in the comments section. We'd love to hear it. Be sure to press subscribe while you're there as well. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores. Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores. Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.